was machst du am Wochenende? Hier ist der Podcast für die zwei kürzesten Tage der Woche von Zeit Online und Zeit Magazin. Und mir gegenüber sitzt die Mitgastgeberin von Und was machst du am Wochenende? Ilona Hartmann. Ihr kennt sie von Twitter und von Instagram. Sie ist Schriftstellerin und Zeitmagazin-Kolumnistin. Guten Morgen, Ilona.
Guten Morgen, lieber Christoph. Vielen Dank für diese wunderschöne Ansage. Christoph, du bist Co-Host dieses Podcasts, Editorial Director des Zeitmagazin, Podcaster, Newsletterer und Autor auch. Das unterschlägst du immer.
Ja, manchmal schreibe ich auch. Stimmt. Und wir sitzen hier, wahrscheinlich hört man uns auch ein bisschen flüstern, weil wir nicht im Studio sitzen. Wir sitzen hier wir sind auf Tour sozusagen. Wir sitzen im Soho-Haus hier in Berlin. Denn wir nehmen heute eine ganz besondere Folge von Und was machst du am Wochenende auf?
So ist es. Wir sitzen auf extrem unbequemen Sesseln, die aussehen wie aus dem Computerspiel Die Sims, die nicht gemacht wurden, um darauf zu sitzen, wirklich.
Sie sehen gemütlich aus, sind es aber nicht.
Nee, überhaupt
Gemeiner
nicht.
Trick. Ja.
Aber wir warten gerade noch auf unsere Audienz.
Aha, bei The Hof.
The Hof. The Hof is happening.
Also, don't hassle The Hof. Aber
ich hatte krass
Hassel
mit dem Hof, muss ich ehrlich sagen. Ich bin richtig aufgeregt.
Ja.
Du nicht?
Ja doch, also wobei ich, der hat ja so ein kurioses Leben jetzt schon gehabt. Deswegen freue ich mich eigentlich auch, mit ihm über all diese Dinge zu reden. Denn man muss es, glaube ich, so sagen, David Hasselhoff ist der Mann, von dem die Deutschen glauben, dass er glaubt, dass er die Mauer zum Einsturz gebracht hat.
Das stimmt.
Darüber müssen wir natürlich auch mit ihm reden. Er dementiert es. Er seit Jahrzehnten, wir haben uns ja ein bisschen vorbereitet auf ihn. Seit Jahrzehnten gibt er Interviews und sagt, es stimmt überhaupt nicht, dass ich behaupte, dass ich die Mauer zum Einsturz gebracht habe. Aber warum glauben das alle?
Ja.
Darüber müssen wir mit ihm natürlich auch reden.
Absolut. Also ich fand das auch krass zu merken. Da wird eine 40, 50 Jahre lange Karriere eigentlich eingedampft auf einen einzigen Moment, a brief moment in history. Ich weiß auch gar nicht, also ich meine, klar, man kennt Baywatch und man kennt Knight Rider, aber man kennt vor allem Hasselhoff als The Hoff und als Kultfigur, als lebende Legende sozusagen.
Und ich muss sagen, das finde ich immer beeindruckend bei solchen Menschen, die ja in Amerika dann immer so schön als Pop-Culture-Icons vorgestellt werden. Er selber nennt sich ja Entertainer, weil er natürlich auch weiß, im Grunde genommen spielt er seit Jahrzehnten sich selbst. Dass er mit so einer Selbstironie auch umgeht, dass er eben nicht der große, ernsthafte Schauspieler geworden ist, der, glaube ich, ursprünglich mal werden wollte.
Ja, glaube ich auch.
Und du hast die großen Stationen seiner Karriere ja schon angesprochen.
Ja.
Bin gespannt, was wir nachher überhaupt mit ihm alles besprechen werden. Aber es ist ja wirklich eine besondere Geschichte, weil er ja bekannt geworden ist. Er hat in so Soaps mitgespielt in den USA in den späten 70ern, frühen 80ern. Und dann wurde er Hauptdarsteller in einer Serie, in der er eigentlich gar nicht der Hauptdarsteller war. Nämlich der Hauptdarsteller war eigentlich ein Auto.
Kit,
ja. Knight Rider. Für die Jüngeren unserer Zuhörerinnen und Zuhörer muss man wahrscheinlich nochmal ganz kurz erklären. Knight Rider war eine Serie, in der ein Auto alles das konnte, was damals natürlich kein Auto konnte. Das Auto konnte sprechen und hatte auch überhaupt alle Tricks drauf. Also es konnte auch, glaube ich, Telefonanrufe annehmen und es konnte irgendwie magische Tricks mit anderen Autos machen. Es konnte, glaube ich, auch andere Autos bremsen, wenn ich mich richtig erinnere. Und daneben stand eben dieser Schönling, der im Grunde genommen eigentlich immer nur da saß und das Auto fahren musste.
Ja.
Knight Rider. Tolle Titelmelodie.
Stimmt, die kannte ich. Also ich muss ehrlich sagen, ich habe Knight Rider nie geguckt. Also ich bin auch so ein bisschen.
Das ist deine charmante Erklärung dafür, dass du etwas jünger bist.
Also ich bin zumindest, ich bin aufgewachsen mit Hasselhoff, da war der einfach nur die ganze Zeit da. Also da war das einfach schon gesetzt. Es gibt den, der ist iconic. Es gibt Baywatch mit diesen komplett, glaube ich, nutzlosen roten Dingern, die sich immer unter den Arm geklemmt haben. Was ist denn das? Das sieht aus wie eine, das sieht aus wie eine übergroße rote so PET-Cola-Flasche. Und damit rennen die so in die Fluten und wollen dann da jemanden vorm Ertrinken retten. Das habe ich nicht auch abgenommen, muss ich sagen.
Und rennen ist ja eine lustige Formulierung, weil ich glaube, die haben die Zeitlupe in Serien erfunden.
Ja, denn, ich meine, renn mal im Sand. Ne?
Ja, deswegen wurden die dann besonders langsam auch immer gezeigt. Also wir reden natürlich nicht über Sexismus im Entertainment-Bereich, aber man sah die Frauen und Männer immer so leicht bekleidet. Das hat immer geholfen, glaube ich auch.
Ja.
Aber tatsächlich ist das Verrückte bei Baywatch, dass die Serie in Amerika gefloppt ist, oder? Die erste Staffel war überhaupt nicht erfolgreich und die war eigentlich schon eingestellt. Und er hat dann, glaube ich, sein Geld aus Knight Rider genommen.
Hat als Producer das nochmal wieder angefangen.
Ne? Und hat das ja zu der erfolgreichsten Fernsehserie aller Zeiten gemacht.
Ja.
Schon verrückt.
Das ist krass,
also,
ne?
mit einer Geschichte, von der er, glaube ich, selber sagt, die Drehbücher waren etwas dünn.
Mhm.
Also ich habe auch Folgen gesehen damals. Ich kann mich auch nur noch an dieses Strandlaufen erinnern. Ja. Und die Titelmelodie von Knight Rider spielen wir einmal kurz ein, weil die nehmen wir auch auf die Shownotes.
Mhm.
Die ist wirklich, die ist wirklich toll. Also. Also irgendwie auch funky, oder?
Das ist doch aber, also ich kenne das gesampelt in irgendeinem, wer war denn das?
Ja, Pop-Culture-Wissen. Es gab dieses indische Lied, die haben den, glaube ich, gesampelt. Müssen wir gleich nochmal rausfinden. In den 80er Jahren hatten auch Fernsehserien noch so einen gewissen Pathos. Also man konnte so eine Serie wie Knight Rider mit so einer leicht pathetischen Melodie ankündigen. So, oder jetzt kommt irgendwie was ganz besonders Spezielles.
Gab ja auch nichts anderes.
Ja, ich schau mal kurz nach. Pass auf, ich schau mal kurz nach. Wusstest du, dass die Welt da noch in Schwarz-Weiß war? Hat man das jemals erzählt?
Wann habt ihr das umgestellt?
Farbfernsehen gab es erst mit der Wiedervereinigung.
Ach, auch wegen Hasselhoff.
Da hat wahrscheinlich auch David Hasselhoff eingeführt, das Farbfernsehen. So, warte mal. Ich schaue jetzt mal hier kurz. Wieso haben wir haben ja das Internet? Knight Rider Sample. Ah ja, es gibt auch, genau, Punjabi MC.
Mhm.
Das war's.
Aber auch Busta Rhymes.
Busta Rhymes auch?
Genau, das meinte ich, glaube ich.
Du meintest natürlich das Coolere, ne? Ist klar. Busta Rhymes versus Timbaland. Turn it up, fire it up.
Ja, ist schon ein bisschen der coolere Beat.
Ja, natürlich. Busta Rhymes ist auch der coolere Typ. Das werden wir David Hasselhoff
nicht
verraten.
Das sagen wir dem nicht, nee. Wusstest du, dass David Hasselhoff ein Lied mit Blümchen aufgenommen hat?
Nein, mit Jasmin Wagner.
Mhm.
Auch ein Kind der 90er.
Mhm.
Nein, das wusste ich nicht. Aber das war jetzt nicht, wie hieß das, der größte Hit von Blümchen?
Das war nicht Herz an Herz.
Nee, Herz an Herz, Boomer.
Nee. By the way, Herz an Herz von Blümchen ist auch nicht von Blümchen.
Von genauso wie ja auch der größte Hit von David Hasselhoff, I've Been Looking for Freedom.
Oh Gott, ja, stimmt.
Natürlich auch nicht von David Hasselhoff ist, sondern ursprünglich gesungen wurde, also eine deutsche Schlagerproduktion war und ursprünglich gesungen wurde von Tony Marshall. Und man muss sich I've Been Looking for Freedom dann vorstellen mit der deutschen Übersetzung auf der Straße nach Süden. Es nimmt so ein bisschen auch diesen Wiedervereinigung.
Mit der Sonne als Ziel.
Du kannst den Text. So auf Punjabi MC. Ich schaue noch mal ganz kurz.
Ja, wenn man gut hinhört.
Da ist es.
Da ist er.
Der Knight Rider. Ja, genau. Also David Hasselhoff. Und dass er mit einem Blümchenlied aufgenommen hat, das irritiert mich jetzt. Das kriege ich irgendwie nicht zusammen.
Ja, das war ist auch tatsächlich noch gar nicht so lange her. Das war 2019, glaube ich, und er war damit im Fernsehgarten. Und es hieß, ich habe den Titel, ich habe mir den Auftritt angeschaut, ich habe leider vergessen, wie das Lied heißt. Natürlich gutes Songwriting, das ist perfekt. Aber ja. Ich fand es auch auf jeden Fall krass, mit welcher Treffsicherheit er immer wieder so solche Matches macht, wie mit Blümchen zum Beispiel. Oder diese.
Was ja auch wieder von so einer gewissen Selbstironie auch
Das auf jeden Fall, aber so. Woher weiß der denn das?
Ja, hat er gute woher, Berater in Deutschland.
Woher weiß man denn in den USA, dass Blümchen auch hier so eine Legende ist? Und ja. Dass dann irgendwie das witzig wäre, wenn die im Sommergarten so ein Lied performen.
Ja, die in der internationalen Berichterstattung über David Hasselhoff wundern sich natürlich auch immer alle, was die Deutschen an ihm haben. Er kann sich es auch nicht so richtig erklären.
Das fragen wir ihn mal.
Das fragen wir ihn natürlich. Und er hat ja auch aber tatsächlich deutsche Wurzeln. Auch darüber müssen wir mit ihm natürlich reden. Hat er ja vor kurzem erst erfahren, glaube ich, vor ein paar Jahren. Und es hat auch irgendwas mit Haselnusssträuchern zu tun. Also sein Name tatsächlich.
Hm.
Denn ein Ahnenforscher hat herausgefunden, dass seine Ur-Ur-Ur-Ur, wahrscheinlich kommen jetzt noch fünf Urs, Großmutter Mitte des 19. Jahrhunderts aus der Nähe von Bremen kommend mit einem Schiff nach Amerika übergesetzt ist. Deswegen fühlt er sich wahrscheinlich auch Deutschland so verbunden. Also ich freue mich auf unseren speziellen Gast, auf David Hasselhoff, oder?
Absolut, aber ich kann es auch gar nicht einschätzen. Also,
wie er so sein wird?
Ja, also der ist sicherlich sehr nett und sehr professionell. Aber du hast mehr Promi-Erfahrung als ich.
Ich bin auch gespannt. I have no clue. Ich bin gespannt, weil manchmal sind solche Menschen, die schon 1 Million Interviews gegeben haben, dann auch nicht so richtig interessiert. Bei ihm habe ich so das Gefühl, also ich bin eigentlich ganz optimistisch, ich habe bei ihm das Gefühl, dass ihm das großen Spaß macht.
Total, ja, voll.
Ich bin auch sicher, dass er sich in Deutschland eigentlich wohlfühlt. Ich glaube, ja. Er hat wahrscheinlich auch so das Gefühl, das ist seine zweite Heimat. Und du hast ja auch, wie für jede Folge von Und was machst du am Wochenende, ein fiktives Wochenende dir überlegt. Ich bin sehr gespannt darauf, wir werden natürlich auf Englisch mit ihm reden, deswegen wirst du ihm auch dieses Wochenende auf Englisch vorlesen.
I will try my best to read in English.
I'm very excited.
Yes.
Und dann schauen wir mal, was er auch an Wochenendtipps für uns mitgebracht hat.
Hast du Wochenendtipps vorbereitet?
Ja, ich habe zwei Tipps vorbereitet. Bin gespannt, ob wir dazu kommen werden. Einmal habe ich etwas aus dem Schwarzwald.
Ach schön.
Dachte ich, für ihn als Deutschland-Experten. Und dann habe ich ein Spiel mitgebracht, mit das tatsächlich von einer Berliner Coachin erdacht worden ist. Da geht es um so mutige Fragen. Man zieht so Karten und
risky.
Ist auf Englisch. Deswegen dachte ich, bringe ich ihm das heute mal mit. Und
wollen wir eine mutige Frage ziehen?
Ja, und dann ziehen wir eine mutige, wollen wir jetzt schon eine mutige Frage ziehen?
Ja.
Ah, okay. Dann müssen wir aber nachher auch darauf achten, dass wir.
Aber das ist nicht so challenge-mäßig. So, du musst jetzt gleich.
Kein Wettbewerb nehmen. Also es gibt hier vier, das Spiel heißt Dare to be Curious. Und es gibt vier Stufen. Es gibt Dare to be Curious Level 1, Dare to be Wrong Level 2, Dare to be Vulnerable, also angreifbar, empfindlich, auf Level 3 und dann gibt es das Finale.
Aber Curious ist doch schon mal unsere.
Ja, Curious ist gut. Das ist das Level 1, das packt man dann so aus, das ist wie so ein Kartenspiel.
Sieht auch sehr hübsch aus.
Ja, das haben sie irgendwie gut gestaltet und dann ist es im Grunde genommen, also ich glaube, man zieht einfach eine Karte, ja. Wir können ja mal also die erste Karte ziehen. Willst du eine ziehen?
Ich ziehe jetzt die oberste Karte. Mhm. Joker. Nee, macht Spaß. What's something about other people's relationships you are curious to know?
Also, was interessiert dich an den Beziehungen von anderen Menschen?
Mhm.
Wie bleiben sie lange glücklich zusammen?
Mhm.
Da ist mein Scheidungskind Trauma. Schlägt durch. Aber du musst auch antworten. Ich glaube, der Trick ist, dass man auch selber antworten muss.
Shit.
Hast die Karte schnell weggelegt.
Das finde ich auch spannend. Und ich finde auch spannend, wie man zusammen sich weiterentwickelt.
Ah, das ist eigentlich die entscheidende Frage.
Mhm.
Ja, stimmt. Man weiß immer, wenn es
growing together.
Ja, das ist stimmt. Darum geht es eigentlich.
Mhm.
Ja. Okay, ich ziehe auch eine Karte. Sehr lustig. Die müssen wir ihm einfach unterschmuggeln nachher noch. Draw freedom. Zeichne Freiheit. I've been drawing freedom. What does freedom look like to you? Da brauchen wir also einen Stift und einen Zettel eigentlich dafür. Mhm. Ja. Wie sieht denn Freiheit für dich aus? Vielleicht kann man es auch beschreiben.
Also ich glaube, wenn ich ein Blatt Papier und einen Stift hätte, würde ich den Stift an der einen Seite von dem Blatt ansetzen und dann einfach durch den ganzen, übers Blatt drüber, über den Tisch, durch den ganzen Raum, würde ich rummalen.
Ja, ich hätte eine Sonne gemalt, erstaunlicherweise.
Auf der Straße nach Süden.
Intuitiv. Der Toni Marshall in mir. Okay, komm, wir ziehen noch einen. Du.
What do you think people hide about sex?
Was, ich übersetze nur, um Zeit zu gewinnen, ist klar.
Mhm.
Also was glaubst du, was Leute, wenn es um Sex geht, verstecken?
Mhm.
Was sie wirklich anmacht.
Denkst du?
Ja, also, ich glaube schon.
Ja.
Das ist, viele Leute eher verstecken.
Mhm.
Was glaubst du?
Ich glaube so diese kleinen awkward moments. Wo so, weiß ich nicht, das Kondom an die Wand flippt. Und dann sind aber beide zu serious, um zu lachen oder so, keine Ahnung.
Ah ja, wenn man, irgendwie nicht, so wenn diese, man nicht lacht. Wenn
ja,
man nicht
dass
lacht,
man nicht lachen kann. Und dass man,
wenn es merkwürdig wird,
ja.
Wenn sowas passiert.
Ja,
ja, stimmt. Auch gut. Hm. Das ist gut, dass wir die Frage David Hasselhoff nicht stellen, dachte ich gerade, oder?
Ja. Ja.
Also das ist eben dieses Spiel Dare to be Curious. Das werden wir dann mit ihm nachher auch spielen.
Sehr
wir
gut.
Können unauffällig natürlich die Freedom-Frage
ja, schon
so
mal
als
rausholen.
Zweite vielleicht, damit es nicht so
das
ganz…
Das ist unser Ass im Ärmel. Wir haben beide T-Shirts an. Wir
müssen
das irgendwie…
Dann merken das unsere Zuhörerinnen und Zuhörer, wissen es ja,
ja.
Aber er merkt
es. Das ist unser Geheimnis.
Nicht. Also das ist… warte mal, ich mische jetzt mal die Karten bunt durcheinander, aber ich nehme mal die Freedom-Karte.
Ist das unser Joker?
Das darf man natürlich eigentlich gar nicht, aber wir sind ja hier unter uns im so.
Das ist keine Manipulation.
Das ist okay, oder?
Das ist Showbusiness.
Ja, ich glaube, da ist er. Ja, das ist doch sein Zuhause.
Wir tricksen doch Ideen. Alle.
Ja, genau. Ich glaub,
und was mache ich jetzt damit?
Ich glaube, leg die einfach da auf den Stapel. Ich lege noch eine Karte drüber.
Das dürfen wir nicht vergessen dann.
Das heißt, wir müssen zwei auf jeden Fall ziehen.
Ah, okay.
Ich nehme noch mal eine andere Frage. Ja, das ist doch gut. Dann nehmen wir dieses Dare to be Curious Kartenspiel mit rein. Und was ich natürlich vergessen habe, weil wir hier so nett zu dritt zusammensitzen in Wahrheit, auch diese Folge von Und was machst du am Wochenende wird produziert von Pool Artists und diese Folge wird von Constanze Teschner verantwortet, die uns gegenüber sitzt und sich um den Ton kümmert und alles perfekt organisiert hat.
Ohne die wir komplett reingehen. Verloren wären, ja.
und deswegen freuen wir uns gleich auf The Hoff. Glaubst du, er wird auch singen?
Wenn wir lieb fragen.
Aha.
Vielleicht.
Das finde ich immer das Schönste, wenn man so aus dem Stand. Es ist ja jetzt.
Vielleicht müssen wir anfangen.
Vormittags, ja. Wir müssen den Ton nicht treffen, es wird uns leicht gelingen.
Mhm.
Und dann schauen wir uns den Text nochmal an, mhm. Den Refrain, dass wir den auch können.
Ich hätte den eigentlich ausdrucken und laminieren sollen.
Weil der Refrain ist fast philosophisch, finde ich. Also er singt ja I've been looking for freedom.
Mhm.
Und dann kommt ja aber die Formulierung and the search goes on.
Mhm.
Also die Suche nach Freiheit geht immer weiter. Das werden wir auch herausfinden, was David Hasselhoff von Freiheit hält und was für ihn Freiheit ist. Mhm. Oder?
Werden wir alles besprechen.
Ja, gut, dann gehen wir jetzt gleich mal rein.
Bis gleich. Wir laufen literally.
Ja, zu The Hoff. Sehr gut. Wir laufen hier auf den Gang raus und werden jetzt hier in den nächsten Raum geführt.
Ich fühle mich wie bei so einer Bergtour, wo man so eine Schnur ja. Festhalten muss.
1,93 ist er groß. Also
doppelt so groß wie ich.
1,94 wird uns gerade zugerufen. Guck mal. Es gibt unterschiedliche Größenangaben. So, Ladies first.
Hello. 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 Pleasure to meet you.
Good morning, David. Nice to meet you. So you're signing autographs?
I have to do a lot of autographs for my box set.
Yeah.
So I've done all those, and then now I'm doing these.
Fantastic. Would it be okay to for the mic that we have a mic? So could you hold your mic while signing?
Oh wow.
Or maybe we can organize it.
Yeah, so maybe so we can organize something. That, yeah. Well, no, it's okay.
Or we could sign some for you, so you can hold the mic.
No, you can't sign anything for me because it has to be authentic.
That's right.
But I've done that before.
have you ever done fake autographs for other people for as a joke?
I have not done fake autographs for other people, but I've had people do me only because one time I was in a place called Wiener Neustadt in Austria.
Wiener Neustadt, yeah.
And I think I was in Wiener Neustadt, and I was with my father and my... assistant whose name was Buddy.
Uh-huh.
And we were went on stage and I sang, I've been looking for freedom. And I sang and oh that's a nice tattoo. And
that's Ilona's tattoo.
Thank you.
It's
yeah.
What does that tattoo mean?
Oh, I just drew a wonky smiley and then went to my tattoo artist
a
and
smiley
said,
face, but it's a little
ouch. It's a little wonky, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I said, please don't be so precise as you usually are. And he yeah. said, that's the hardest job he ever had to do.
Oh, that's
not
good.
To be precise.
I like that.
Do you have you. A tattoo?
No, I don't. I don't. I don't think I'm going to get one, but I might get one like that.
Ah,
that's really nice.
Okay.
But I was on stage and
in Vienna.
10,000 people showed up. And I had like two songs to sing. And they told me two songs and 10 minutes. And I, you know, they paid me a little bit of money. And I said, okay. And 10,000 effing people showed up. And I went, ah! So I went back and I said, well, I have a stack of autographs. And they said, maybe you can sign. So I got my father and my assistant, and we just signed because the people were a bit upset.
Because you only had two songs.
I only had two songs.
What, so you were obviously singing I've Been Looking for Freedom?
Well, I didn't have any playback. I only had two playback for that song and for Crazy for You. And I think I did the best I could. And
so you went like sort of off stage and started signing autographs, and so the people would get something out of their
time.
That's very kind.
Well, only because I didn't think I was going to get out alive. And so I thought, best to sign autographs. Sign everything. So I said, what's your name? And he says, he's Hans. Come here, Hans. Can you do this signature? So I gave them an example of my signature, and he was terrible. I said, no, forget Hans. I said, my father can sign for me. And Buddy. And Buddy, they're both have passed away now. I'm still going. So anyway, welcome. Nice to see you.
Thank you for taking your time. We've been in preparation for this interview. We chatted so much about all the things that you stand for in Germany, and you know, as the Germans, I mean, it's so bizarre in a way, right? That Germans believe that you believe that you brought down the wall.
No, I don't believe that.
Some Germans do.
No, the Germans believe that I was a part of it because I sang for freedom. And the ones that believe that I had something to do with bringing down the wall, I embrace them and say, you know, if you want to believe that, great. It's good to believe.
That's right.
You know, it's good to believe. The song was I'm Looking for Freedom, and people are still looking for freedom. I was watching that tonight on television. And the world is looking for freedom. The world is saying freedom, freedom, freedom. And I think because of the Black Lives Matter and the fact that in the United States that we decided to show up and to say history is not correct. We weren't taught history in school. It's like the Germans were not taught about the Holocaust. They weren't taught. They needed to be taught. They needed to really realize that there is a dark side to America. There's a dark side to Germany. There's a dark side to everywhere. And that we need to bring happiness and light and morals. This is what's left of my father. This is a wedding ring
father's ring.
My father gave this to my mother, and they said to me, "Can you take the wedding ring?" Happy, and I said, "All I want is wedding ring." And
what's on the ring? What's on the ring? What's inside?
Inside the ring it says JVH, Joseph Vincent Hasselhoff, to Dolores Teresa Mullenix, DTM, 1949, and he gave this to my mother, so it's my wedding ring now.
And, it's beautiful.
You know, it means something to me. My father means something to me, you know? And then the rest of it, we all live in a bubble, you know?
How was your father like?
How was my father what?
Yeah, how was he like?
He was very outgoing. He was like, he had a quadruple bypass surgery, and I held everything, and I said, Dad, you're going to see me when you wake up. If you see Jesus, you'll know it didn't work. And he went, F you. And that was the last thing he said. And then the doctor, Dr. Wong, I said, Dr. Wong, if things don't go right, things are going to go really Dr. Wong for you. And I meant that. I was going to really hurt him because this is my father, and he has to be right. So my father's got through the surgery. He's laying there with all these tubes hooked up on him. And I said, everything okay? He said, yeah, it's fine. And then he says, Dr. Wong says to me, the funniest thing. He says, If one snake eats another snake at the same time, which snake comes out on top? And I said, what? He said, your father was coming out of his anesthesia and telling jokes. And it was an Ellery Queen mystery, which my father was very big on, like Ellery Queen mysteries.
Right.
And he would always tell, like, why does the man go to the 17th floor when he works on the 24th floor? And he gets on the 17th floor and gets out and walks up the rest of the stairs. Why does he do this? And the answer to that joke is that that people have to figure it out. And the man gets off the 17th floor and walks up to the 24th floor. Why does he do this? Does he do this to get in shape? No. Why does he do this? And he does it because he's a midget. And because he cannot reach to the 24th floor. And he goes up and walks up to the other. And there's a plethora, which means a lot of, there's a lot of Ellery Queen mystery jokes. And my father was coming out of this surgery telling these jokes. And that's what my father means to me. My father was the most outgoing, incredible man that I've ever met. And he was a great man. I flew back from my last series called Hoff the Record from England to be with him before he died. Mm-hmm. And it was great moment. So,
would you think that you became an entertainer because of him?
No, of course. You know, my mother, I got my tenacity and my drive from my mother. Mm-hmm. And my father was just, he was like every week, you want to go here? Want to go here? Want to go there? He was like, I lived in Jacksonville. I lived in Atlanta. I lived in Chicago. And he was always, the weekends were always a big to him. We ended up living on a lake where my father went out. He went to work. It was like, over an hour, you know, he drove.
Right.
When in Germany and Austria and Switzerland and Europe, you know, you drive everywhere because it's, you know, 2 hours, like, to go to San Francisco from Los Angeles. It's like, you know, 3 or 4 hours, 5 hours, four and a half. And you wouldn't think of driving. You just take a plane.
Right.
But here you just drive, you know.
Do you enjoy driving yourself?
Well, yeah, I do now. You mm-hmm. know, it's like I have a deal with BMW, and I've had a deal with Audi in the past. I love an R8, and I did a commercial for BMW and fell in love with the BMW. I'm probably going to get something electric, though.
Right.
You know, because it's the world's, you know, Los Angeles is a drive town. You got to go everywhere by car.
And so, it takes hours and hours and hours.
It's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. I like the openness. I live in Calabasas. I keep moving out. I lived in Encino. I keep moving away from LA. And then I have the capacity and the great fortune to have people come to me. And then so even though I have a smaller house, I downsized from my big house. And the house is not big enough for me. It's huge for my wife. It's like, oh, my God, you're building a bigger house. I said, it's too small. And she goes, it's huge, because she lives in a tiny little house in Wales. I mean, that's tiny. It's really weird to live that way. I could live that way if I had to, but it's just not in my lifestyle to have to be this big.
And I don't see you in Wales, living in Wales, really.
Well, Wales is it rains great. A lot.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I don't see you in a rainy country like that. So this podcast is called Und was machst du am Wochenende?
Oh my God.
What are your plans for the weekend? And while you sign your first autograph, and I see you, like, is there a shortened version of the name for the autograph? Or is it?
Well, I've signed Love the Hoff, you know. I've said, you know.
Yeah. So the Hoff would be.
You know, the Hoff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I could do that.
Right. You so know, you have two different ones that you can use.
I don't know. I have something like five autographs. Melanie, who is my press agent for Schubert, and works on the company, And I put in, just so you know, I put in five, you win. And when they open up, you win, it means that they win a phone call from David Hasselhoff. And so, yeah, it's so now it's an incentive to buy the box set.
Yeah.
And the box set isn't exactly what I wanted it to be, but the box set is the box set. And so I put in the five little clues to you win. And then if they get a you win, they get a phone call or lunch or whatever.
Or lunch? Even a lunch? Oh.
Well, so I don't know.
Take people out for lunch?
Maybe.
Hmm. Are you wearing the same shirt today as in the picture?
I don't know. Am I?
It looks like it.
It looks similar. Yeah.
I'm wearing the same outfit. Oh, my God. Yeah. I wonder if I have the same shoes on. I have the same ring. I can't find this watch. Ah!
It's gone?
This is my favorite watch.
Mm. No more looking for freedom, but looking for watches, right?
I've been looking for my watch. Yeah. And I've been looking for my watch like crazy.
Yeah.
And what's the ideal number of buttons unbuttoned on a shirt?
Well, this one is...
Three, right?
Yeah.
Today it's two?
I really don't think about it. Honest to God, I don't think about it.
Just go with the flow.
I just go, you know,
and
I go, oh, that's too low, you know? So I button it up, you know? But I don't think about it, you know? Everyone makes a big deal out of my shirts and running in slow motion. I never ran in slow motion in my life. I never did. We just did the film.
Baywatch was slow motion.
Yeah, you know why we did that? Because we had no money.
So you extended the material.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said, oh, wow, she looks good in slow motion. Run that in slow motion. Run that in slow motion. Whoa, I can run in slow motion. And everyone looks good in slow motion. It depends, though. Everyone looks good in slow motion in the beginning when they're in shape.
Right.
But then they come to the
closer to the camera.
We have a thing called the... what you call it? It's a table of sweets and table of food, you know, and then you can go there and just eat. So I changed from the sweets
to bananas and fruit.
Yeah, to fruit and carrots and stuff like that, you know.
While shooting Baywatch. I mean, so we're getting into the podcast is that we're talking about your weekends and your weekend plans.
Yeah.
And also part of this podcast is that Ilona, who's a famous writer in Germany, comes up with a fictitious idea of your weekend. So she has made up her mind about how your weekend maybe looks like, and she's going to read it out to you now, and then you can tell us if she's close to the truth or not.
Okay.
You're very welcome to react.
Okay.
So, it is a crisp yet sunny Saturday morning in Los Angeles, and Mr. David Hasselhoff is on his daily walk along the beach. Old habits die hard, so he can't help but save two or three too confident swimmers from the waves. Back home, a true German breakfast awaits. Some Brot, some Wurst, some Käse. Some memories from when Berlin was still divided by a wall and he sang standing on it, in a jacket decorated with, yes, blinking lights. David Hasselhoff takes a seat in a sun chair for the rest of the day, relaxing, daydreaming, sometimes wondering, how did I become such a living legend? Why do Germans love me so much? And also, where did that blinking jacket go? So where did it go?
So
is it close to
it's a little bit close. I have walked along the beach. I have
rescued
people.
You did, really?
Yeah, I have rescued people in real life. My wife has, and I don't wonder why I'm so famous in Germany. I know why I'm famous in Germany.
What's your secret?
I'm famous in Germany because I put in the time, because I came back, because I showed up, and I sang on the wall was not I had nothing to do with the wall coming down except in my heart. And I went behind the wall before the wall came down, and my heart said to take a picture with three girls, and I said how do you know me? And they said, you are the man who sings of freedom. And now I'm walking with a guy that really sang for freedom named Dean Jones. And Dean was, he was killed in East Germany in the Stasi Lake. And then we don't know whether he drowned or was killed. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I tried to get his life story because he sang like B.J. Thomas. Mm-hmm. And I did a song like B.J. Thomas called Hooga Shaka, Hooga, Hooga, Hooga Shaka, that song. And I can't stop this feeling. But I'm as famous all over the world, even though I just came from Marbella in Spain. And they say Baywatch here, or they say Cadumil in France, which means K2000. Or Belejantes de la Playa in Spanish, which are the heroes of the beach. And El Coche Fantástico, the fantastic car. It's incredible how crazy famous I am because of Knight Rider, because everybody has a childhood. So I know that in Germany, I was supposed to do, on my birthday, an 80s concert. I was going to be the headliner. In Austria, I did Nova Rock. 125,000 people. I followed Green Day one damn, and I followed Iron Maiden. Following Iron Maiden? So I did, I've been looking for freedom. I did this heavy metal version. And they said, no, Mr. Assop, do it the way we remember it. So I did it. And all of the children are now grown up, and everybody has a childhood. And every single person, including Muhammad Ali, has come to me and said, hey, Knight Rider, you're pretty, but not as pretty as me. And I went, oh, my God. Muhammad Ali knows who I am. So I hit right. I got the right show, and I made it my own. And so that your story is very similar to the lighted jacket is you know what the lighted jacket's about? Do you know really what? Really?
Tell the story.
The lighted jacket came from a concert that I did for the Osmonds called Ring of Fire. And Ring of Fire was at Brigham Young University in Utah. And the Osmonds, Donny Osmond, who's from Wales, it's a weird name, Meredith Tismal or something?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something, yeah. And he's from a very strange place in Wales, but they're very Welsh, you know? The Welsh are very territorial. We are Welsh. We are like Tom Jones. He's very Welsh. He talks like this all the time. Hello, David. Good to see you. Yeah. And he's like, not unusual to be loved by anyone. And he's incredible. But he's really Tom Jones, and I'm from Wales. Meredith Tydfil is where the Osmonds are from. And so I had to do a concert for them. So I had this jacket. I met a man whose name was Steve Seychelle, and he does the scanner. So I gave out gifts to the crew and the cast of Knight Rider, a picture of the car with a scanner, because I was David Hasselhoff, because the show was a hit, because I was making money. I had money. So I said, okay. So I took care of the cast, and then I thought, hey, Steve, can you make a jacket that lights up? And he said, yeah. So walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain. So I had two Roman candles, and I lit the jacket up. Everybody went crazy. There was 1,000 people in the show, 80,000 in the arena, mm-hmm. And I was a huge hit. And so I said, I could sing on the wall? I mean, that was a huge thing.
And it was your idea.
It was, of course it was.
Because the people from German television wanted you to perform on their New Year's Eve show.
Yeah.
But you apparently, you were on the phone telling them,
I'll only come if I can sing on the wall. And it was a joke. I hung up the phone and my ex-wife, she said, you think that'll happen? I said, no way. They're never going to let me sing on a wall. They called me back and they said, we have to get Helmut Kohn and Helmut and Conacher their permission. And they got their permission. And they said, would you mind singing in a crane above maybe 500,000 people? It was 1,000,000 people there. I said, you know, that's fine. I hung up the phone and I said, they said, yes. Ah! I went around the house like crazy, like a crazy man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I called my best friends and said, you want to go to be a part of history? And they said, yes. So I took 10 friends. And we filmed it, and we chopped the wall down after that. Yeah, we chopped the wall down. We had pieces of the wall.
Yeah.
I mounted the pieces of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I gave them to the cast and the crew of Baywatch. and said a little piece of freedom, and I put the wall. That piece is now worth $500 or
right on eBay,
500 euros. Yeah. And it's exactly a piece of the wall because I chopped that wall down.
Do you still have a piece of yourself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have many pieces.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I have big pieces.
You could build up the wall again in
you
California?
You know, I built up the wall. I mean, when I came in to Berlin yesterday or 2 days ago, I drove by the wall, the East Side Gallery, and yeah. I said, I'm responsible for that wall being there. So I did build up the wall again.
And you literally did because you were active to fight the gentrification at that spot. So
I showed up. And because you have to show up. Mm-hmm. You got to show up. And if mm-hmm. you don't show up, you don't show up. Many times I don't show up because I'm living in a bubble. Many times you don't show up because we're living in a bubble. We're at the friggin' Soho House. And we are blessed. And then look at Simone, who just walked out of the Olympics. She walked out of the Olympics because she was nervous. She was afraid. I've been there.
Oh, yeah? You yourself?
I've been there. You know, can I still do it? Can I still? I had a podcast. I'm still trying to sell my podcast. My daughter
has a podcast. Yeah.
She has a fantastically successful podcast. I do her show because her name is Hasselhoff. But the lighted jacket, back to the lighted jacket, is on my wall. Honest to God, and I can light it up.
Oh, yeah?
It's still working.
When the Germans come in, they go, oh, there's the jacket. And I have the audience. The audience dresses up in lighted jackets.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I saw the pictures of that.
And my daughter has a podcast, and it's a podcast about believing in yourself and having a positive image because she's beautiful, but she's heavy. Most girls are heavy, especially all over the world, So she says, believe in yourself. She's in great shape. And this is me. Mm-hmm. And so I support that. And I support Simone. I support walking away for a minute. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm here amidst a lot of health issues and stuff that I should have taken care of in Los Angeles that came about quite quickly. Mm-hmm. And I went, no, I have my series, I must go. I have the record, I must go. And now I'm here, and I'm okay.
We're very happy you made your way to Germany.
Me too.
It's a very enjoyable conversation. So what does a regular weekend of David Hasselhoff look like?
You know, it's funny. It's
when do you get
I went out with my wife, and she said, don't go out with me.
Why not?
Because the paparazzi.
Uh-huh.
And it was so strange to me to see this them follow me. And, I mean, they've been following me for, you know, 20 years, but I still never get over it. Hmm. I still wake up in the morning and go, I got to go. And put myself together, wear the same shirt. I had no idea that I'm wearing it. No idea. Oh, my God, you pointed that out. I had no idea that I'm in the same shirt. But all I know is that I directed the photo shoot, and then I paid for the photo shoot. And they loved the shots. And I said, of course they love the shots because, I did them.
And, maybe you took your watch.
I wish I had. And I've lost my watch.
Someone, maybe during the shoot.
Like I don't someone, know. No, the watch was right next to my bed. I was like, and I must have left it at the... I went to a chiropractor who's quite good in Berlin. He does a manipulation of your body. He doesn't crack you. He does everything. It's painful. He said, breathe through the pain. I said, breathe through the pain? I was like going to throw up. I was in painful. There's like one spot in the middle of your back. Oh, my God.
Do you know
really good.
Do you know his name?
Are you from Berlin?
Yeah, we're based here in Berlin.
Oh, you should go to this guy.
Do you know his name? Or?
No, I don't. But I can get his name. Yeah. We can get his name after the interview.
And we put it in the
show notes. I'm going to see him today.
Okay, fantastic.
He's really young. He's like, you know, like really young. Like too young. And I went, I was like, you're too young. And I mean, I didn't say that, but I felt that. And he really got me going. In a great way.
Werbung. Auf der Suche nach Wissen und Inspiration? Dann sind Sie bei der Zeit genau richtig.
Unsere Journalisten sind weltweit rund um die Uhr im Einsatz, um Ihnen die Hintergründe aktueller Nachrichten näher zu bringen. Lesen Sie preisgekrönte Reportagen, fundierte Analysen und einzigartige Investigativrecherchen. Jetzt unter zeit.de/gratis kostenlos kennenlernen, entweder gedruckt oder digital in Web und App. zeit.de/gratis.
So, a weekend in California. Like, what's your favorite thing you do on a weekend?
Get away. You know, I love, you know, if you had said the best thing for David Hasselhoff is going on the beach, is really to get away. I go to the beach. I have to pay to get in the beach. Yeah, I pay. And then people take pictures of me and they go, oh, David Hasselhoff had to pay. You know, the comments.
Right.
Don't read the comments. Mm-hmm. Don't read the comments. Believe in yourself. Put what you want out, but don't believe in the comments. You know, and if you want to hurt somebody, don't do it on social media.
Mm.
You know, respect is a big word for me. And
so how do you run away, or how do you get away?
You know what? I embrace stardom. I embrace fame. I like it. It's fun because people are really fun to me. They smile. They I watched you in Portugal. I watched you in the Philippines. This is what I got in Marbella. I get over here. I watch you. I'm part of people's childhood. And so I was supposed to, believe it or not, toss the coin between Ronaldo and Manuel Neuer.
Manuel Neuer and Ronaldo.
Yeah, in the world champion in UEFA.
Yeah.
When Portugal played
Germany,
and Germany won. And I didn't go because I was in Marbella and they were in Munich and they asked me to go. And because I love...
But you're a supporter of the German team.
I'm a supporter of Bundesliga and I've done a big commercial in ESPN in America, and they knew that I was there. And I said, Manuel Neuer is one of my favorite goalies. If not, I think he's the best in the world because he attacks, you know, he just goes for it. Sometimes it's a little bit crazy, and he doesn't go for it the right way. But so what? He just goes for it. So what? Goes for it.
Is that something you've done your life as during?
You
got to
go for it. You got to fall down anyway. You might as well go for it. You might as well.
Do you remember the moment when you realized you were really famous?
No.
Was there a time when you realized it was happening? Was it
every day is weird. So, I mean, it's nice here.
Yeah, yeah. Why is every day weird?
Because people freak out.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice when I see a girl in a wheelchair and I can just do, you know, she doesn't recognize me, but you can tell that she can't look at me. She got cerebral palsy, but you know that their brain's okay. And you know that then I take the mask off and I tell the parents, do you know who I am? And they say, oh, David Hasselhoff. And I said, yes. Can I take a photo? And I say, yes, that's fine. So I take a photo with the girl and I leave and I get back in the thing. I go around undercover and I stop at a hen party where the girls are. And my wife says, do you think the women will recognize you? I said, we'll find out. And I saw one girl go like that. And I went, they'll recognize me. So I get out and I go, hello. And what are you doing here? I'm here to get married. And then, can we take a picture? Come, take a picture. They flip out. So that's an honor. That's a power. That's really great. You know, it's like when One Young World, I was in Munich for One Young World, which is to save the world about the new leaders, that I'm able to say, talk to the person next to you. I don't care if you know them. What's your name? Mm-hmm. What's your name?
Christoph.
David, nice to meet you.
Big pleasure.
That's it.
Christoph. Yeah.
Hang on.
Is that an important call or a message?
No, I'm going to turn that on silent. But that's what I said to the people. Yeah. Turn to the people. Christoph, hello. David Hasselhoff, hello. Nice to meet you. It's cool. It's normal. It's what my dad did. It's normal. And so I think that helps.
Do you have a routine that you do just for yourself, something you do besides working that you enjoy doing?
I like to go to do crazy adventures like diving with sharks and jumping out of airplanes and.
That's the usual thing, but just on a Sunday afternoon, I guess.
No, on a Sunday afternoon, I like to stretch and spend some time with my wife and we go to the woods. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of biking. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of there's many many trails in Los Angeles. Many. It's a beautiful planet. I talked about on One Young World, isn't it beautiful outside? I mean, it's beautiful. If you take the time to really see it, it's really beautiful. And what the world is going through. I met a man from Nigeria. My God, what's going on in Nigeria? And I met a man, and they were all at One Young World, like 196 countries were represented there. And they all were living in, it's horrible the way that they live. And I was supposed to, on a weekend, it's very difficult for me to get out. I have a theater in my home, and I had a big theater, in this guy's house in Marbella. He's from Austria, the second richest guy in Austria. The richest one is Red Bull. The number two guy is a guy that was in gambling, and he invented slot machines. But
so you have a theater in your house?
Yeah,
in
and so I stay there, and yeah. I binge watch.
What have you been watching lately that you would recommend?
My favorite series is Ray Donovan, which is about a man who has a terrible lifestyle, terrible things happen to him, but he's always he's kind of a fixer. He's always comes out on top. And it's similar to my series. It's very funny. It's very different. Mm-hmm. It's very heavy. And it's kind of like my time behind the wall. Was I a spy or wasn't I? You know, stuff that I really can't talk about. Some great stuff that I can talk about. The three girls. I said, well, Berlin's right there. You can't go to Berlin? They said, no, we can't. I said, wait here. I took a picture with them, and I went across, came back, and with a picture of them in the West German newspaper, The Bild. Gave it to them, and they went, and they screamed around. Little did they know that the wall came down.
And you've never met those three girls again?
No, right? Never again.
So maybe they listen to our podcast and...
Maybe, you know, maybe. It would be nice to meet them.
Because you're referring to that moment, having met those three women.
I don't need to meet them. I have them on my wall, and I look at them, and I go, yeah. It was something that I did because I was in the Hotel Grand,
right,
which is now the Westin Grand.
Yeah.
And the Westin Grand was the Grand Hotel. It was the only hotel in East Germany, probably before you were born. Well, 1989?
Yeah, I was not there yet.
Yeah, you were not there yet, yeah. And so in 1989, the wall came down. November was 9th, yeah. And it was really weird because these girls, they said, we're not going to get out until we're our grandparents' age. And I went, what? And they were teenagers. So now they're a little bit older. They're 30, probably in their 50s. And they were really shy, and they didn't want to get on the camera. So I said, okay. And so I have that memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. During our podcast, you had some recommendations for our listeners. And sometimes we also bring some recommendations. So one of the things that we will recommend on this episode is a game, a card game. It's called Dare to Be Curious, and it's done by created by a coach from Berlin, and it's a card game. So we can just play it for a second. It's very easy to play. So we just take out the cards, and on each card, there's a question that every one of us needs to answer. So you can just pick one card and read it out, and then we just try to answer this first question from all of us. Just take one.
Okay. Is it in English?
It's in English.
Okay.
Yeah. Typical Berlin, everything is in English, you know, these
days.
Well,
that's good.
Yeah.
What does power look like to you?
You can also explain. What does power look like to you?
Well, good power looks like people holding hands around the world. and bad power, there's people fighting.
That's a very good answer. Just take the next one.
What is something that gives you goosebumps? wouldn't it be funny if a goose had human bumps? Singing on the Berlin Wall definitely gave me goosebumps.
How long did it take after for you to like kind of realize what just happened?
It took America many years. It took the Germans. I don't really know if the Germans know what really happened behind the wall. They certainly don't know what happened, you know, in the Holocaust. Mm. We don't know what happened with the slavery.
Mm.
We were not taught that.
Mm.
We were not taught about the Indians, about the Trail of Tears. You should look up the Trail of Tears. It's a horrible story. You know, I think it's really important that, you know, and it's not our fault. You know, what happened
decades or 30, centuries 40 years. Ago.
No, yeah. it just happened.
But I think it's our responsibility to learn from what has happened, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why the wall is up, just so people remember.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the cow is really there, so people remember what happened and say, let's not do it again, but we're doing it again.
Has your perspective on America changed in the last couple of years because of all the things?
I've tried to remain not angry and to have a conversation with people, but it's getting worse. It's getting to the point where, you know, it's the vaccinations I did an ad for Germany. I've been looking for freedom. And I said, I found freedom. I did. I found freedom by getting vaccinated. And I was able to fly here because I was vaccinated.
Many people in America, but also in Germany, also all over the world, don't want to get vaccinated.
I understand that. And I understand that. But I'm not letting them come into a place unless they've been tested, you know, or if you've been vaccinated. I mean, like I say, we all have our masks off. As soon as we walk outside, we have to wear a mask. I don't want to wear a mask for the rest of my life, you know? Besides, some people look better in masks. And they take them off and they go, oh, that's just cute. Oh, he's nice. Oh, he's not so cute.
What was it like for you to find out about the real German roots? I mean, just a couple of years ago, I guess, some scientist found out that your family comes from the Niedersachsen, right? Lower Saxony. Yeah.
Fulkerson, which is like F-O with two dots on the O, L-K-E-R-S-E-N, Fulkerson, which is near Bremen. And the man said, my grandmother's name was Hasselhoff. And I always joked that I was related to Hasselhoff. And now here you are. And I invited them to a television concert that was, I can't remember of the show, but it was an evening that where I performed, and they all came, and they showed me a Hof, which is a barn, Hasselhof, which means Hassel in the old days meant hazelnut.
Hazelnussstrauch.
Yeah.
That's where your name comes from.
So
right?
My father told me an incredible story. And he validated the story of the professor, who was a professor of genealogy.
Yeah.
And he said, my great-grandmother, I think, I don't know. He says, I don't know. No one cares because no one in America really cares about their roots. My father says, Meta, I think her name was Meta. She had five children, and she came to America, and she went from Fulkerson, some place near Munich, I don't know, to Maryland. I don't know where she went. But she had five kids, and we couldn't figure this out. And the man said to me, the genealogist said to me, we only have Meta and four kids, but she had five children. But we can't find the fifth ticket. And my father started to get emotional, and he said, wow, The rumor is she smuggled a child under her dress.
Wow.
And the father and the man went, oh my God, that never occurred to me. And my father validated what the professor of genealogy said, and the professor got very weird, like, oh my God, there's the fifth ticket. And he gave me the ticket of Maida Hasselhoff, and it was for five people. And she left with four kids, came to, I think she went to Ellis Island, and immigrated to Boston. And my father said that, yeah, she smuggled one kid under her dress. And the genealogist said that. And, you know, to me it was like, wow, that's so cool. But then they gave me a book of all the Hasselhoffs in that town. It was like really weird. And it was incredible. So I look at myself as just being David Hasselhoff. My roots are German. My roots are Irish. Do I care about that? My mother made a book. Yes and no. Mm-hmm. But I care about now. Today is, I don't want to leave the world to my children. And so it's a mess. Hmm.
But isn't it great that you can come back to Germany where your part of your family grew up and there's a whole circle, I feel, like from, with you coming back to Germany. I know that you have a busy day today, but there's one last question that we always ask our guests in every episode, because it's about weekends and about how they live their lives. And that question is, which sort of time do you prefer, like Sunday evenings or Monday mornings?
Oh, Sunday evenings. Sunday evenings, because I can hang and just relax. And but Sunday evenings are tough because I know the next day is Monday. However, I was very, very, very excited to come today. And two days ago, I was in Munich and I was picked up by the Surreal people who did a show called Slow Born, which was
fantastic.
Very fantastic show. He did Dogs of Berlin, and they have written a really fantastic show. And for me to wait a year and a half because of COVID to finally get here, I was ready to go, man.
Oh, wow. So you're going to do something with them?
Yeah, I'm definitely. That's why I'm here at the Soho. Their offices are very close, and I start shooting August 10th.
Oh, fantastic.
In Poland.
Oh, fantastic.
Until the end of October.
So we really are looking forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's quite an interesting show. It's very different. And it's very much a big challenge for me to be executive producer, but also to make the show good. It's great. But there's one point in the show that I need to figure out with a writer. And so we'll see what happens.
You figured it out with Baywatch, although the original scripts weren't that good.
They were terrible.
Yeah.
The original scripts were terrible. Oh, my God. One of the producers said, she goes, I'm having trouble learning my lines. And he said, don't learn your lines. Hasselhoff's going to change them anyway.
One last thing. Would you sign an autograph for the two of us just for the show?
What's the name?
It's Ilona.
Ilona.
What is it?
Ilona. Ilona.
Ilona.
Yeah.
Right.
I-L-O-N-A.
Right.
Okay. And?
Christoph.
Christoph.
Yeah. C-H-R-I-S-T-O-P-H.
C-H-R-I-S.
T-O-P-H.
P-H. Okay.
And I love the fact that you're signing autographs during this podcast. It's a very, very, very nice moment.
Well, I have a lot to do today, so I figured
How many do you have to sign?
1,500.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Just today?
Well, yeah, I'll get them all done today, and if I'll get them all done today.
Yeah, I can see you doing that.
Yeah, why not?
Thanks so much, David, for taking the time.
All is good.
Thanks for having
Vielen
us.
Dank. Schönes
Christoph,
Wochenende.
Nice to meet you.
Have a nice weekend.
And nice to meet you. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you so much.
Take care. I'll see you guys later.
So, Ilona, wie war's?
What? What?
Komm, wir schleichen uns hier nochmal in so ein Nebenbüro.
Ich glaube, das ist nicht das, wo wir rein dürfen.
Wir müssen noch gehen wir noch eins weiter.
Sonst wer weiß, welcher Star darin auf wir wartet. Dann müssen wir mit dem auch noch
hier, ne? Machen wir die Tür auf, ob wir hier reinkommen. Hier ist auch niemand. So, Konstanze, Ilona und ich gehen jetzt hier in einen Nebenraum, setzen uns nochmal kurz hin.
Auf das Sims-Sofa.
Wie war die David Hasselhoff-Experience?
Wild. Also ich fand, man hat krass gemerkt, dass der das schon echt lange macht. Also der wirkte wie ein super sicherer Vollprofi. Ich war auch gar nicht mehr so aufgeregt, wie ich dachte, dass ich wäre, weil der so gechillt war.
Ja.
Und gleichzeitig fand ich, dass es krass geschwankt hat zwischen, er erzählt eine Geschichte, die man schon kennt, also die man so diese mit diesen drei Mädchen und so, das hat, also ich habe das relativ oft schon so gelesen vorher und wusste so, okay, das ist so part of the story. Und dann hat er zwischendurch aber auch Sachen ausgepackt, wo ich mir dachte, krass, das mit dem Ring und das mit dem geschmuggelten Kind unterm Kleid, entschuldige bitte. Also ich weiß nicht, ob er das schon mal erzählt hat, aber für mich klang das voll so Secret Details. Und das war krass.
Ja, ich fand auch, was ich auch nicht wusste bisher, dass er die Jacke, da hattest du ein gutes Gespür, die leuchtende Jacke, die blinkende Jacke, ja auch in seinem Haus,
dass er die noch hat.
Immer noch hat und vor allen Dingen auch angeschlossen hat.
Dass die noch blinkt.
Und was ich dachte, als er das erzählt hat, weil er kam ja drauf durch Knight Rider, dass er im Grunde genommen mit sich selber das Gleiche gemacht hat, wie die Produzenten mit dem Auto. Denn das Auto hat ja auch geblinkt. Das Einzige, was man bei dem Auto gesehen hat, bei
war
Kit,
immer dieses,
war diese Leuchtdioden, diese roten Leuchtdioden, die vorne unter der Motorhaube so hin und her
und
gelaufen sind.
Drin gab es das, glaube ich, auch wie so ein wie ein Ausschlag bei Mikropegel, wenn das Auto gesprochen hat, ne?
Und das im Grunde genommen er sich selber auch zu so einem Kit gemacht hat, indem er sich die Lampen oder was auch immer da hängt an seiner Jacke eben an sich selbst organisiert hat. Ja.
Der ist schon auch einfach ein Profi in so Selbstverkultung.
Ja.
Also ich glaube, der hat, das ist natürlich was, worüber man nicht so oft und gerne spricht, aber der hat das schon sehr früh wahrscheinlich gecheckt.
Und was ich auch fast rührend fand, dass er doch immer noch, also wenn man sich das vorstellt, wie ist eigentlich das Wochenende von David Hasselhoff, immer noch damit ringt, obwohl er das ja immer sein wollte, berühmt zu sein und eben seine Frau ja dann zu ihm sagt, sie will nicht mit ihm ausgehen, weil dann kommen die Paparazzi und dass er doch dann auch erzählt, dass er, wenn er zum Strand geht und da eben auch Eintrittsgeld zahlen muss, dass er dann so Sprüche hört von Leuten, die sagen, David Hasselhoff muss auch Eintritt zahlen für den Strand.
Es hilft natürlich nicht, wenn man das gleiche Outfit trägt wie auf den Autogrammkarten.
Ja, ist aber auch lustig, dass ihm das selber gar nicht aufgefallen war.
Ja.
Es war ihm wirklich nicht aufgefallen. Nee. Und also du hast ja das hellblaue Hemd erwähnt auf der Autogrammkarte, aber er hatte auch die gleiche Hose an.
Ich glaube, ja.
Er hatte die gleiche Jeans an oder dieselbe vielleicht sogar. Mhm. Ja, also er glaube ich, er, das ist sein Look wahrscheinlich.
Ja,
das ist der David Hansen.
Seine Uniform.
Ja. Und trotzdem,
ich fand es so geil, dass wir reinkamen und er hatte, glaube ich, das Hemd bis auf die letzten zwei Knöpfe offen.
Hat dann aber im Laufe des Gesprächs
das so ein bisschen zugemacht.
So ein bisschen hochgeknöpft. Also wie so ein, wie als ob er gerade noch vom Strand gekommen ist und gemerkt hat, okay, es ist nicht mehr Baywatch hier, es ist Berlin Watch.
Oh, this is serious business. It's like two German journalists. Like, I need to button up.
Ja, ja, ja. Und dann aber auch gleichzeitig gesagt hat, dass er da gar nicht drauf achtet.
Mhm.
Ja, das fand ich natürlich auch gut. Und aber auch sein Verhältnis zu Amerika, was er ja selber auch angesprochen hat, was ich sehr interessant fand, dass er selbst sagte, wir haben die dunklen Seiten unseres Landes durch Black Lives Matter und wie wir mit den Indigenen umgegangen sind, also die weiße Bevölkerung der USA. Was ihn tatsächlich beschäftigt, das ist auch tatsächlich etwas, man merkte, er kam am Ende des Gesprächs auch nochmal
drauf
zurück.
Das ist dem echt wichtig, glaube ich. Ja. Und was mich, also ich glaube, die Antwort, die mich am meisten beeindruckt hat, war, als wir ja gefragt haben, warum mögen dich die Deutschen so gerne? Und er hat nicht irgendwas geschwurbelt von so, ja, ich war zur richtigen Zeit am richtigen Ort und ich habe von Freiheit gesungen, als es keine Freiheit gab. Bliblü, bla. Er war einfach da. Und er ist dran geblieben. Und ich glaube, das ist einerseits super humble, er hat einfach die Arbeit reingesteckt und es ist auf eine andere Art, aber auch einfach total klar und wahr. Also da gibt es keinen doppelten Boden. Der hat gemerkt, das kommt da gut an und dann gehe ich da nochmal hin und dann baue ich eine Beziehung auf. Also wir mögen den, weil der auch wollte, dass das weitergeht.
Und weil er immer wieder gekommen ist.
Und weil er wiedergekommen ist, ja.
Das ist ja das alte Geheimnis, das mir mal jemand verraten hat, wie man Stammgast wird. Man muss einfach wiederkommen.
Ja, tatsächlich.
Und ich glaube, das hat er mit Deutschland auch gemacht.
Er ist Stammgast.
Einfach immer wieder gekommen, oder?
Ja.
Also ich fand es eine sehr besondere Folge mit vielen Überraschungen auch. Also,
Voll, ja.
Und auch ein paar Tipps. Also Ray Donovan, die Serie, Binge-Watching à la David Hasselhoff.
Absolut.
Viel Fahrradfahren.
Mhm.
Und er hat das Kartenspiel auch, ich glaube, der hätte das Kartenspiel noch stundenlang weitergemacht.
Kann ich mir auch vorstellen,
oder? Hat dann eine Karte nach der anderen gezogen und hat auch eine gute Antwort gegeben auf die Frage, was ist eigentlich Macht?
Mhm.
Und gleich unterschieden in die positive und die negative Seite. Mhm. Und
er ist so ein Einserschüler.
Ja. Und die Haselnuss-Strauch-Geschichte hat er auch noch erzählt.
Endlich.
Ja, dass wir alle wissen, warum finden wir diesen Nachnamen so interessant. Na klar,
Das
sind die Haselnusssträucher in Niedersachsen, in Volkersen, wie er gesagt hat.
Ja.
Und vielleicht finden wir ja die drei Frauen.
Das wäre geil.
Ja, die er ja, als die Mauer noch stand, auf der Ostseite getroffen hat und die ihn erkannt haben. Und er hat ja, glaube ich, gedacht, die erkennen ihn nur, weil er, glaube ich, zu ihnen auch gesagt, denkt ihr, ich bin der Typ mit dem Auto?
Mhm.
Aber nee, sie haben ihn erkannt, weil er über Freiheit gesungen hat.
Mhm.
Und vielleicht finden wir sie. Also vielleicht sind es ja Hörerinnen von unseres Podcasts. Wäre doch schön. Dann sollen sie sich doch melden an wochenende@zeit.de.
Betreff Hasselhoff.
Damit wir es nicht übersehen.
Ja, genau, damit das, oder wir das zuordnen können.
Und übrigens tatsächlich, wir lesen ja alle E-Mails, die wir bekommen, mit Gästewünschen und Anmerkungen und also wochenende@zeit.de. Wir freuen uns sehr. Das war eine besondere Folge, Ilona, oder?
Absolut.
Der Hoff hat uns gehasselt.
So muss man, also wir haben auf jeden Fall, ich hätte auch gerne noch ein paar mehr Fragen gestellt, aber naja, frag mich in einem Jahr nochmal, dann habe ich das mehr drauf.
Schön war's. Schönes Wochenende.
Sehr schön. Schönes Wochenende.
Und was machst du am Wochenende? Ist ein Podcast von Zeit Magazin und Zeit Online, produziert von Pool Artists.